Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world? I want to be a light in this darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us. Got a good show for you today. But before we get into it, it is time for Viewer Mail. Dear Father Chapin, I watch your Daily Living show on the Green Bay, Wisconsin channel, WCWF. Just so you know, the last 3 weeks they have repeated the same show. It's the episode where you have a shout out to a group of ladies in a nursing home in New York. If you are paying them to air your show, you are not getting your money's worth. I appreciate your message every Sunday, your friend in Wisconsin. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me know. Unfortunately, Sinclair Broadcasting, which probably broadcasts over 300 channels throughout the country, including this show in several markets, experienced a very significant cyber attack where, you know, ransomware and the whole thing. So they're trying to work it out. Hopefully by the time you see this episode today, they will have figured it out. But I appreciate the fact that you are watching and paying attention and that you let me know. What do you say we quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God? You know, God wants to speak to you. Are you ready to listen? We're going to school, my friend. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing today from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect, raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man, the Gospel of the Lord. And wow, what a gospel it is. There's a whole lot here, my friend. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin calling the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we begin a brand new liturgical season. We call it Advent. The word Advent is defined as the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And for the Christian, that notable person is Jesus. So Advent is a liturgical season that prepares for two things. Number one, the birth of Jesus in the manger, which is coming soon. But number two, at the same time, his second coming, which is why our gospel today has an apocalyptic feel. People who study these things will call our gospel eschatological literature, because it's not talking about the baby Jesus coming soon, but rather the end of the world, or what they call the second coming, which, by the way, is a phrase you will never find in Scripture. Second coming, that phrase seems to imply that Jesus has left and will return someday, which for the believing Christian is not true, because Jesus is here right now among us. Of course, in this present age, we have a veil that separates us from the kingdom of heaven, but we can see Jesus through that veil, be that prayer or meditation or the circumstances of our lives. And Jesus makes it very clear in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is my personal favorite, that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell within us. And it does. And that Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us every day, in our daily living, in the sacraments, in His Word, as we seek the quiet voice, asking the big question, which is, Lord, what should I do? Or, not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. What is Your will for me in my life? So for the believing Christian, Jesus is here right now in our daily living. But at the same time, we must recognize that Advent clearly promises that He will return in all His glory, and the veil will be removed. So that's what Advent's all about. But of course, our world does not celebrate Advent, because the whole thing has been hijacked by a large man in a red suit. And I'm very aware that Dennis from Racine, Wisconsin gets very upset when I dump on Santa, so I'm going to go easy. But let me just say that while our world, which is driven by consumption, absolutely loves Christmas, it wants very little to do with its actual meaning. But alas, I'm drifting. Why am I even talking about Christmas? Today we're celebrating the first day of Advent. Like I said, it's a brand new liturgical season, but not only that, at the same time, the church is flipping over to a brand new liturgical year. We're flipping the calendar. Today is our New Year's Day. We've been reading from the Gospel of Mark all year, and today we're moving to the Gospel of Luke, also known as the Gospel of Mercy. I love Luke. We'll be reading it all year. Our gospel today is coming from Luke, and it is describing judgment, talking about terror, talking about the end of the world, which seems like a funny way to begin Advent. But like I said, Advent is really two things. On one hand, we're preparing our hearts with great anticipation for the birth of Jesus, but on the other hand, we are anticipating His second coming. So it's a paradox. On one hand, you have Jesus coming to the earth with great power and glory, with a sword of judgment in His hand. Yet on the other hand, you have this helpless infant lying in the manger. Like I said, it's a paradox. Of course, our world is full of paradox. That word paradox is defined as a statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory, something that's absurd, but in reality expresses a deep truth. Like I said, our world is full of paradox, and it is what has led to such division. It is what has led to the us and them thinking, or the either or thinking. Scripture is also full of paradox. We are entering a season that celebrates Jesus being born in a manger under horrible circumstances. Yet at the same time, He's the Savior of the world. So how does that even begin to make sense? Jesus said to His disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright and anticipation of what is coming upon the world." So as I said, Advent is celebrating two things. Meanwhile, our world is focusing on that first thing, which is, of course, the issue of Christmas. But our gospel seems to be addressing that second issue. Nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the sea and the waves. People are going to die of fright. Can you imagine dying of fright? You know, when I was growing up, my older brother used to like to hide around the corner when he heard me coming, so he could jump out and go, boo, and watch me jump. Oh, he just thought this was very amusing. Now, when this would happen, my heart would actually stop, literally. And one day, after he had jumped around a corner, I explained to him that, you know, one day my heart is not going to start again, and Mom and Dad are going to be very upset when you kill me. And you know what? He stopped. But it's true. Fear can kill you, and it is killing our world. Just watch the evening news. Maybe it's war. Maybe it's social unrest. Maybe it's prejudice. Maybe it's a border crisis. Maybe it's economic inequality. The root of the problem is fear. Fear will drive a wedge of distrust among people. Fear will cause us to view others who are different from us as the enemy. Fear is the root of the us and them thinking. Fear makes it impossible to find common ground to work with each other. And that's not all. Another unfortunate byproduct of fear is anger. And we see this throughout history. Consider the Crusades. What was that all about? Winning people over for Christ? People killing each other in the name of Jesus? Why? Fear. But fear can also kill very silently and slowly over time, because fear also becomes resentment. And anybody who's been watching Daily Living for any amount of time would recognize that this is kind of a running theme around here. But Dallas-Fort Worth hasn't heard it yet, so listen up, because this is big. Nothing will block you from the sunlight of the Holy Spirit quicker. Shut down that quiet voice more effectively than a good, hot resentment. Having a major resentment in your life is a lot like eating little teaspoons of rat poison every day and hoping that the other person dies. You just get sicker and sicker and sicker. Meanwhile, they're across town sleeping like a baby because guess what? They're not thinking about you. Resentment will kill the spiritual life. And the mother of resentment is fear. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, stand erect, raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Now, I'm sure you have probably heard that scripture before. And one of the problems with scripture is that it has become a victim of familiarity. How many times have we heard these words? I fear for many of us, we've heard it so many times that they're starting to ring hollow. Why? Because we're talking about the end of the world, and we've been talking about the end of the world for 2,000 years. That's a long time. And over time, these words tend to lose their power. I mean, think about it, really. Show of hands, okay? Show of hands out there. How many of you have spent any amount of time over the last year really anticipating and being alert for the second coming of Jesus? How many people out there have spent any time over the last year waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises? Anybody? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We will continue to consider this gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, I had asked for a show of hands. How many people out there spent even a few minutes over the last year really thinking and preparing for the second coming of Jesus? How many people out there have really been anticipating the promises of Christ? And of course, you know, I can't see through the screen, but I'm thinking not too many hands went up. Why? Because we do not live in anticipation of God's promises. Yet this is precisely what this gospel is calling us to do, to be ready, to anticipate, to be prepared. But when these things begin to happen, stand erect, raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. So we got something interesting going on here. Luke says that people are going to die of fright, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. So as I said, fear and all that comes with it can kill you. But then it goes on to say that when these things start to happen, stand erect and raise your head, for your redemption is at hand. So you got two groups of people here. You got one group that's dying of fright, and then you got the other that's raising their head because their redemption is at hand. You know, the Greek word for redemption here, and I'm going to kill it here, but it's apolytrosis. And this is the only time that we find this word in all four Gospels. Paul will use it later in Hebrews, but outside of this, this is the only time that we see it here. And this word is very powerful. And it carries the idea of releasing or freeing a slave by payment or a fee or ransom, which raises a number of questions. To what or to whom are we in bondage to? What is enslaving me? What is requiring a ransom? What is the payment to make me free? And to whom is it paid? And for that matter, what exactly does it mean to be set free? Is this payment made to God? What is the ransom? Well, I tell you what, there's a whole lot there. Let me begin with the fact that you and I are sinners, and divine law teaches us that the wages of sin is death, period. Jesus hung and died on the cross to pay that death. In his death, we are redeemed. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, nations will be dismayed. People will die of fright. Goes on to say that the powers of heaven will be shaken. And yet what Jesus is telling us is that when all this stuff starts to happen, we should raise our heads and say, our time is here. This is it. Does this mean that we are void of all fear? No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody on that day, whether that day come tomorrow or 1,000 years from now, will not be terrified. But listen carefully what he's saying. They will see the Son of Man coming with great glory. Some will be dying of fright. Others will be holding their heads up because their redemption is at hand. What makes a difference? Well, the people of this world will see a black hole with no escape, while the people that carry the word in their hearts will recognize that the redemption has finally come. You know, it wasn't too long before our gospel today that Jesus had stated that the temple was going to be destroyed. Remember, he said, not one stone will be left on another. And the disciples asked him a question, and it was a good question. When's that going to happen? Well, our gospel today is really part of the answer to that question. That question, when is it going to happen? When is the end of the world going to come? That is a question that has fascinated mankind forever. And of course, there's a long history of people who have thought that they had it all figured out. People that climbed up on the rooftops on that fateful day, but then the sun came up and, well, I guess they had to climb down. We know that the apostles in antiquity, including Paul after the resurrection, expected Jesus was going to come back immediately. But then time went by. Apostles started dying off. Jesus made it very clear that no one knows the day or the hour but the Father. In other words, the time of the end is his time and his alone. Jesus has just said, redemption is at hand. I have paid the price. I've come to get you. Whether that happens when the world ends or if you get hit by a bus tomorrow, I am coming for you. You are redeemed. In the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in the 35th verse, we read, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. What does that mean? Well, it means that the only thing that lasts, the only thing that's eternal, is his word, which begs the question, is that word living in you today? Because according to Jesus, that's the only thing that's eternal. Period. Even heaven will pass away. But the word or the logos will never pass away. Once again, is that word living in you today? Here's an idea. What if you dusted off that all-time bestseller, you know, the one that nobody ever reads, and actually read his word? How about the Gospel of Mark? In my Bible, it's only 13 pages. Is that so challenging? It could change your life. If you want to know what Jesus said, read his word. And if you want to hear from God, read it out loud. Hear me when I say, my friends, Jesus is coming. And when that day comes, the only thing he's going to recognize is what is eternal in you. Our gospel today describes the Son of Man coming in judgment. And judgment always requires that a debt be paid. Well, my friends, that debt was paid. Welcome to the cross. Jesus goes on to say, beware that you do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, that that day catch you by surprise. The Greek word here for drowsy suggests being weighed down. We see the same word in the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when Peter and his buddies couldn't stay awake? They were weighed down by sleep, but they awoke to see him in his glory. Will you awake? Or will you remain weighed down by the anxieties of this world? And my friends, I understand. We all have worries that weigh us down in this life. There's no escaping that, but think about it. If somebody looks at you and says, hey man, don't worry, what's the first thing you do? You worry, right? I mean, this is our life. I don't think that Jesus is suggesting that worry will never happen. What he's saying is, I got this. Hold your head up. I'm here. Be not afraid. I'm but a moment away, and I'm here to redeem you and bring you home. Which kind of puts worry into its perspective. The Greek word for worry is merimna. We see it in the parable of Martha and Mary. Remember Martha, worried about many things? We got a whole lot of Martha in us. Beware that you do not become drowsy from the carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of daily life, that they catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. You know, when I hear that word trap, the only way a trap can work is when the victim does not suspect it's walking into a trap. I mean, think about it. If you're setting a trap, you're not going to inform the victim. And here Jesus is saying that people who ignore the advent of my return will be surprised and caught in a trap, which really kind of brings us to our main point. My friends, do you yawn and stretch at the idea that the end of the world is coming or the end of your life is coming? Are you counting on the idea that, well, you know, maybe you're a good person or at least good enough, or a deathbed confession is going to take care of it all? Because my friends, whether this world comes to an end or you do, there's only one thing that's going to matter in the end, and that is this. Is there anything eternal living in you? Don't get ready. Be ready. My friends, let us act today as if we were eternal now. Let us root out our own fears and not allow them to fester into hate. Let us pray away our resentments and meet our enemies with kindness. Let us put away the finger of judgment and love people, especially difficult people. Let us bring this world the good news and prove its validity by the way we live. My friends, I challenge you this week. Let us live as if Jesus was coming today. If he was coming to your house in the morning, don't you think you would probably be frantically cleaning today? Let us live this week as if we were going to meet Jesus in the morning. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.